Monster Man, Episode 209, Gru Elemental. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are taking a look at a category of four monsters from the G chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. These are the four types of Elemental Gru. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon supporter. That's right, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And when you do that, depending on the level of pledge you choose to make, you'll get all kinds of great rewards, ranging from extra bonus content to my other podcast, Patron Deities, to the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode of the show. So thank you very much, Ricardo Madrid, for your support. It means a lot to me. All right, let's talk about the Elemental Gru. You may be familiar with the term Gru as a description for a monster. This originates in the fiction of Jack Vance, and we know that Vance was an important influence on Dungeons & Dragons. Most notably, the structure of spell casting, where wizards put a spell into their mind but then sort of let it out and forget it once they've cast it, seems to have been the inspiration for the way the spell memorization works in Dungeons & Dragons. It's both a fun fantasy concept and an easy way to provide a limit on how wizards work, right? They don't just know one great spell and then cast it over and over again. The Gru is one of the numerous monsters that inhabit the world of the Dying Earth, along other creatures such as the Urb, the Pelgrane, the Diadand, and the unusual Hoon. And now, interestingly, apart from, you know, you could maybe argue that the Demidand is named after the Diadand, I don't think there's evidence of other Vancian monsters in the world of Dungeons & Dragons, even though we know that the creators of the game were familiar with the Dying Earth stories. So it may be that the Gru in Dungeons & Dragons comes from the probably better known use of the term to describe a monster, which is in the Zork series of computer games, which are in turn, you know, the Gru there is inspired by the Gru in the Dying Earth. If true, this might be an interesting early example of a later D&D product being influenced by something that was in turn originally influenced by Dungeons & Dragons. However, I don't know that we can go that far, if only because the Gru of Zork, I don't think is ever really meaningfully described. I don't know, I haven't really played those games, but it's just sort of a menace that affects people in the darkness. You know, it is dark here, you are likely to be eaten by a Gru. And these Gru are basically evil elementals. Weirdly, the introduction doesn't mention any connection to the Princes of Elemental Evil, or the Elemental Princes of Evil, I can never remember which one it is, despite the fact that those seem like the most obvious connections for them. Basically, they're sort of alternative elementals. What if elementals, rather than being neutral, as they normally are evil? And so there are four types of Gru. You got the Chagrin, or Soil Beast, the Hargin, or Flame Horror, the Ildris, or Wind Terror, and the Vardig, or Fluid Brute. And can I just say that the name Fluid Brute sounds just really dumb? It may circle around being silly all the way to being good again, I'm not sure, but on balance, I think probably not. Anyway, I think the Gru, Elemental do a pretty good job of identifying what's horrific about the element that they're based on. They talk about how the Hargin looks like lumpy, wet clay. Its horror seems to come from its heaviness. It's shape-shifty, and one of the things it can turn into is a small kind of hedgehog-like creature that clings to you, and despite its small size, is really heavy. So you're running around basically weighed down, hampered down by this heavy thing. And I think that that's, if there's a horror of Earth, that's it, right? It's the horror of being pulled down, pressed down by the weight of Earth. Certainly the Fluid Brute, the Vardig, plays on the idea of, you know, this thing that's kind of like squishy and there is something a little horrifying about things that don't have a consistent form. The Fluid Brutes can also stick together to make a big, one, and that's, I mean, again, it's a better idea than it is a thing. All of the Grues are immune to, or, you know, resistant to, the element of which they are composed, which, you know, is a mechanic that makes sense. So, like, and there's a list of, like, what spells that include. So, for example, when they're talking about the Hargan, it's like, yeah, it doesn't take damage from fire. So not just like torches, but also here are all the spells that, you know, we would consider to be fire. So you don't argue about whether, you know, Meteor Swarm is fire or not. And that is, of course, anticipating a problem that is solved in later editions of Dungeons & Dragons. Like, if you play 5th edition D&D, you will know that all damage has a damage type. Like, is it cold, fire, poison, thunder, lightning, slashing, whatever. It very seldom comes up, but when it does, is for these purposes of resistance. Like, oh, he's resistant to fire damage. Well, obviously, like, a fireball is fire damage, but what about a meteor swarm? That's a weirder question. They're fine. There are nice little horrific touches. I mentioned the Vardig before. It can kill incapacitated opponents by basically shoving one of its, like, hosey tentacles up their nose and drowning them, which is an undignified way to go. If you were incapacitated and then a Vardig basically stuffed a hosepipe up your nose and drowned you, you would feel pretty embarrassed, I should think. They're a little bit overwritten, so rather than describing something that is disgusting, although they do that, there's also a lot of space devoted to telling you that these creatures are disgusting. So, for example, it says that Hargan are gruesome is undoubtable. So there's a certain amount of, like, characteristic overwriting going on here. I think, you know, interestingly, in general, I'm opposed to that kind of stuff. I like, you know, I mean, show don't tell, that's a writing maxim that, while it's not as universally applicable as some people believe, it's, you know, it's pretty good advice in general. But in the case of the Gru, and in some of these other D&D monsters, I feel like there's something about the way that these are written that kind of sets the tone. You know, there's very little advice to the DM about how to play these creatures other than on a purely strategic level. But you do get certain indications of what a monster is meant to be like just from the way that the book describes them. So, for example, you know, evil elementals could be like elementals, which is to say primarily a tactical challenge. You wouldn't present a water elemental as a horror monster, even though the idea of a walking wave that can drown you is actually quite a frightening one. So here the kind of slightly overdone kind of gothic tone actually goes some distance toward putting the DM in the mindset of how the Grues, comma, elemental are supposed to be presented, but without actually saying so. Now, obviously, saying so is the simplest way to achieve this goal, but absent that, this is what we've got. Now, these guys are a little bit superfluous. I mean, it wouldn't be hard at all to just put a horror spin on the existing elementals, but there's nothing wrong with them, and there are a couple of fun details. So overall, I'm going to come down in favor of the Gru, comma, elemental. And that's it for the G chapter of the Monster Manual. In our next episode, we'll be beginning the H chapter and talking about the Hangman Tree and the Haunt. So please join me for some spooky monsters on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.